Red Sox fall to the Blue Jays in Toronto as they gear up for their final series of the 2022 season.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I want to welcome you back into the Locked On Red Sox podcast, and thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. I'm your host, Massachusetts Pirates team insider Jake Inzuski, and it's pretty crazy that we are up to this point where we're talking about the fourth to last game of the regular season for the 2022 Red Sox. After they just finished this past game on Sunday, they're gearing up for a three-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays. But really looking at this Sunday game, first of all, as the Red Sox fell 6-3 to the Toronto Blue Jays, which is not the best way, obviously, that they wanted to finish off the season series against Toronto. We really saw throughout this season, Toronto be one of the teams that hit the Red Sox pitching the hardest out of any of the other competitors. And obviously the first game that comes to mind is the 28-5 game that we're all really trying to forget about. Sorry for bringing it up, but that's the first example that comes to mind of how good the Toronto Blue Jays have been against the Red Sox. And that offense really showed throughout this game on Sunday. We saw Teoscar Hernandez smacked two homers out of Rogers Center, and then Whit Merrifield attack on another homer in the third inning to ultimately put the Blue Jays up 2-0 early. And then the Blue Jays ultimately tacked on another three earned runs in the fourth inning. But it was a really tough outing for Michael Wacha, who was on the mound for the Sox. His second in a row. You know, we just previously saw him allow six earned runs against the Baltimore Orioles in his previous start. But in this one, going four innings, allowing five earned runs, six hits, but still striking out four. But you definitely don't like to see those three home runs or those above 3-4 earned run totals, which this is honestly the past two worst starts that we've seen from Michael Wacha throughout this season. And, you know, as Lauren and I have talked about throughout this year, Michael Wacha has been the most consistent pitcher for the Red Sox in their rotation and has ultimately sort of been the ace. And he's a guy who is really sort of showing why he deserves to be re-signed by the Red Sox after this season ends. Obviously, he's on a one-year, $7 million contract. And you know, we spoke about on this podcast over the last month or so that he could potentially command a $13, $15 million contract from a team like the Red Sox or another team, but hopefully it's Boston. And these two starts might hurt him a little bit. Obviously, with the consistency that we've seen from him throughout this year, it's not really going to hurt him massively. It's not like he had a 5 or 6 start stretch where he's allowing earned run totals like this of 5 or 6. But it's definitely something that you don't want foreshadowing of a Michael Wacha that you could get next season if the Red Sox do ultimately decide to re-sign him. He will be going into his 32nd age season. And so that is one of the biggest questions going into this offseason. And obviously, hopefully, as most of us are praying, that the Red Sox can sort of mark off some of these question marks off their checklist early on in the offseason, so as fans, we're not worrying on what is going to be ultimately happening for this 2023 Red Sox team. But especially with how consistently good Wacha has been throughout this season, he's definitely helped the Red Sox in the record department. With Wacha on the mound, the Red Sox are 16-7 over this season. He ended the season with a 11-2 overall record with a 3.32 ERA over 27 games started. And just such an improvement from what we saw from Wacha last season with the Rays, where he pitched 23 games, the exact same total as this year, but had a 3-5 record of a 5.05 ERA. Massive difference. He also ended up pitching three more innings this season than he did last year. So it's pretty crazy to be able to see those direct comparables of what he was able to do between the Rays and the Red Sox. And it will really beg the question on if the Red Sox ultimately do extend either a qualifying offer to him or an extension, but obviously time will tell. But as I mentioned, the Red Sox, when Walker was on the mound, 16-7 record. But when anybody else started other than someone named Michael Walker, they had a 59-76 record. So it definitely did help with Walker on the mound. So hopefully the Sox can figure something out very soon into the offseason. But it was also nice to see out of the bullpen some intriguing numbers from Frank Hermann, somebody who since being called up from the Worcester Red Sox has really struggled. And honestly, I believe that this is the most comfortable Hermann has looked since being called up to Boston. Ended up in one inning, striking out two batters, not allowing any hits whatsoever. And on the offensive side, we saw Bobby Dalbec really doing his best to convince the front office of the Red Sox to keep him in the future plans of 2023 and maybe beyond. As we've seen throughout this season, Bobby has gotten his opportunities to show the Red Sox faithful and also the Red Sox front office that the second half of last year was not a fluke, in that, you know, if they put him in a regular role, that he's going to be able to produce. But obviously, he just fell flat on that sort of expectation, ended up having an overall average so far this season of 212, but ended up going 2-for-4 in this game against the Blue Jays pitching. It also ended up driving in 3 RBIs. That helped with a home run, which was his 12th of the season in the 7th inning. So doing everything possible for him to be able to show he deserves to be on this team next year. Time will tell on if the Red Sox ultimately do decide to trade him. I think that that is their best bet. But especially with these games starting to wind down, this, as I mentioned, was the Red Sox fourth or last. So guys like Bobby Dalbec, Abraham Almonte is another guy who is really trying to convince the Red Sox front office that they deserve a spot next season and sort of auditioning for their fortune of what could happen during this offseason. Almonte is somebody who has batted really well since being called up to the Red Sox, 321 over this stretch with the Sox. And he's somebody who went 1-for-4 in this game. So those two guys we really saw be able to help the Red Sox drive in those 3 runs. And JD Martinez is continuing to swing the bat well, ended up also going 2-for-4 in this one. But ultimately, the Red Sox could not get it done against the Toronto Blue Jays. And this is just something that we've seen consistently from them. And as Lauren and I have talked about, you know, it's either the hitting isn't there or the pitching isn't there, or vice versa. Both just fall on their face. But throughout this season against AL East teams, it has just been so tough for the Red Sox to really do anything. And it's been just 2 series, if you're really even counting the Orioles series of 1 game, that the Sox have been able to sweep an AL East contender, and you're just not able to be able to compete for a playoff spot or for a World Series if you're not even able to compete or get anything done against your direct competitors in your division. And that's obviously something that we heard Alex Cora echo throughout this series and also throughout this season, that the Red Sox just need to do a so much better job against AL East teams. One guy who just seems to not be able to pitch against some of these AL East teams is guys like sometimes Michael Walker. Nick Pivetta obviously is just one of the major ones that comes to mind, is not able to pitch against the New York Yankees or the Toronto Blue Jays. But hopefully the Sox are able to change their fortunes against the Rays in this final series and finish off this season on the right step. It's been so frustrating, not only for the team, the players, the coaching staff, the front office, but obviously for fans, with just so much questions going into next season. I just really hope that the Red Sox are able to finish off this season on a high note, maybe with some excitement, maybe a walk-off, or just some great performances to finish it off right. But going into our second segment, we're going to talk about a little bit of some of these question marks that could be answered before the offseason even happens, just from some reports that came out yesterday. And also talking a little bit about my reaction to Eric Hosmer returning from an injury with only 3 games left. But before we get into that, I just want to take a second to talk to you about Built Bar. And Have you tried yours yet? If not, you are depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? They have a brand new flavor. It's the delicious cookie dough. It's covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to their new flavor. It's cookie dough chunk puffs. They have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. All joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's healthy for you. It's pretty crazy that even though there's 100% real chocolate, it tastes like a candy bar. There's only 160 calories, and they have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. So run to built.com to snag a box for you and the family, and it'll be the perfect treat. Or you can really find a good hiding place just so you can hoard them for yourself. So you can go to built.com, use your promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off of your order. Make sure to go over to built.com and use your promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off of your order to try not only the new flavor, but all the amazing flavors of Built Bars. But something that was reported on Sunday and will really start to not only make the Red Sox front office think, but also some fans think, what is going to be happening with Tommy Pham going into 2023? He's somebody who has really not done a bad job since being traded over to the Red Sox during the trade deadline from the Cincinnati Reds. And it was reported earlier this season that he had a mutual option of $6 million. And a lot of fans in their minds were really thinking that he could be a great, not only fourth outfielder, but one of the outfielders in the Red Sox depth chart during 2023. You know, he's brought a lot of fire and passion to this team to end the season. Hasn't been hitting that great over the last 30 games, so I'll get into that in a tiny bit. But now it was actually reported that it's $12 million from Christopher Smith of MassLive.com. And so far what we've seen from Pham with the Red Sox, batting a .240 average, smacking 6 home runs, 24 RBIs, but here's the big issue is that he strikes out a lot more than he gets on base and has 64 strikeouts with 50 hits over 228 up-at-bats. And he's been struggling so bad over the last 30 games. We've seen him only clubbing a .208 batting average with 3 home runs and 11 RBIs. And it's really tough for, especially when Pham is your leadoff, to be able to get anything started with somebody who has been batting .208 over his last 30. But one big question is that a lot of people have been really talking about, especially thinking about the fourth outfielder of next season, is what will the Red Sox do with Rob Refsnyder? And could this report potentially make the Red Sox want to keep Refsnyder even more? He's somebody who over 153 at-bats with Boston has been batting .307 with 6 home runs and 21 RBIs with 47 hits. And he's also arbitration eligible in 2023. So he's right now on a minor league contract, but it will beg the question on what the Red Sox will want to do with him starting next season. And if he could potentially fill in Pham's role, and could the Red Sox add another outfielder? And, you know, I asked some of you guys on Twitter, what would your thoughts be if the Red Sox did bring back Pham? And should they bring back Pham? And we saw Steve Marchand said, a team with an outfield that includes Hernandez and Pham as two of its starters are neither a serious playoff contender nor a team undergoing a meaningful rebuild. And couldn't agree more. I just don't think that, especially with the production that we've seen of Pham, not only over the last 30 games, but since he's been with the Red Sox, is just not something that is going to be able to help you get to the World Series. And Pham's also not very young either. And so I think, especially when starting to look towards the future for this Red Sox team, you gotta find a young, exciting outfielder. Who knows what direction they'll go with that? Will it be free agency? Will it sort of be a bridge before Zidane Rafaela will be coming in 2024? Very curious to see what they do there, but it's definitely going to be something that they need to fix. They need to get a big bat into this lineup, as we'll probably see JD Martinez end up leaving this team at the end of the season. But we also saw a New York Patriot. He just said no, and just straight to the point, and I agree with that too. It's been very interesting to see sort of the reactions of, once this report did come out, how many people flipped from their first opinion on re-signing Pham for the $6 million mutual option. But now really looking at it, obviously with the valuation that we've been able to see from him so far with Boston, playing at Fenway, the energy that he brings, but also his production on the field, it's just not worth $12 million. And you can easily use that $12 million for a big bat in the lineup, a bullpen guy, somebody to fill in that rotation spot and to bolster this pitching staff. And there's just so many holes on this Red Sox team that, you need to really, as a general manager, especially with Chaim Bloom going into this offseason, which could be his biggest of his entire career with Boston so far, he needs to be smart with his money. And we know that Chaim is very frugal. Other than the Trevor Story contract, Kike Hernandez, the 2 years, $14 million was the most money he ever spent. So especially with how much money the Red Sox do have to spend throughout the season, they need to spend it smartly and on effective things. I just don't think Tommy Pham is that. But another report that came out on Sunday is that Eric Hosmer is looking to return from injury for the final three games of the season. And this honestly didn't really make a lot of sense to me. I tweeted, I really trying to understand the reasoning for this. And there were some people who, you know, wanted to remind me that he's still on the Red Sox, and also people who were happy to have him back and were happy to see his resiliency to come back from the injury. And, you know, that's all great and dandy, but there's two or three games left that are meaningless in this season. And I just don't know really why he's coming back if you can just go home and start preparing for next season. And I'm hoping that this doesn't happen, knock on wood. But, you know, worst comes to worst, Hosmer hurts something while playing in these three games that don't matter at all. That'd be awful. But, you know, it also would be nice for Hosmer and Cassis to start getting to know each other. Obviously, it came out once Hosmer's trade over to the team that Cassis and him had known each other since high school, and that Cassis would go over his house during his senior year of high school, and Hosmer was sort of a mentor of his. But when I spoke with Cassis a few months ago, he mentioned that he was looking to be able to talk to Hosmer face to face, get to learn from him a lot. And so that was one of the biggest pluses, I would say, from Eric Hosmer coming over to the Red Sox from the trade deadline that a lot of people were talking about, is how he could be a mentor to a young kid like Tristan Cassis, who is still really trying to figure it out. So can he really do that in 3 days? I don't think so, and doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. But, you know, if he wants to come back, great. And, you know, if he can help the Red Sox go out on a high note and, you know, bring some firepower to this lineup, you know, I'm not going to complain, but it just doesn't make too much sense to me, because, you know, we already saw a guy like Trevor Story, who was injured and said, you know, I'm just not going to come back. I'm just going to go home and start preparing for next season. But I'm not complaining. I just don't understand it. I'm curious to hear your guys' thoughts, and we always love hearing everybody's opinions on these different topics, especially as the season is winding down and the Red Sox are not going to be in the playoffs. We are going to be talking about a lot of different things that happened throughout this season, talking about our favorite moments, different wacky things that happen, bringing them back up, good memories from throughout the season, as tough as it's been. We're also going to be having on some great guests, like some player interviews, some reporter interviews, some Red Sox Twitter interviews as well. You know that we always try to give the best content with this podcast 5 days a week, and that's going to be continuing all throughout October. But we always greatly appreciate everybody tuning into the Locked On Red Sox podcast and for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. Now make your second listen Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his humor, passion, and his unique perspective on every team and the biggest stories around the league. So follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. And as I talked about, we love hearing about your opinions. So tweet at us at @LO_RedSox. Over on Twitter, if there's something that you want us to talk about, if there's a subject that you want us to do an episode on, obviously we'll keep it into consideration, and either we make it a segment or we make it into a full episode. But we want to hear your guys' thoughts and what you guys want to hear about and have us talk about, to not only review the season but also get you ready for the 2023 season. And we want to help get you excited for that, as tough as this season has really been, not only for fans but also for us having to talk about it. But we love talking about it, and I also talk about Red Sox stuff also over on Twitter. It's @JakeIggy. Also make sure to follow my co-host Lauren. It's La 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 Three Laws, Lauren with four R's. But as always, we hope everybody has a great Monday. We will talk to you and see you guys tomorrow. We'll end it how we always end it. Let's go, Sox. Peace.